Hello, and welcome to Educators to Educators podcast, where we like to shine a light on incredible teaching and learning and provide relevant and digestible professional development for educators, parents, and anyone interested in what's happening in schools today. I'm Carrie Conover, and thank you for joining us for this episode with Mary Jo Matta on digital citizenship. If this is your first time, welcome. We would love for you to subscribe and hear some of our other episodes of Educators to Educators. You can also learn more about E2E by visiting www.educatorstoeducators.com. On our website, you can learn about other podcast episodes, opportunities to work alongside education companies, and also self-paced online courses that you can take with other educators from around the country. This evening, when I was driving my two children, ages 7 and 10, home from school, I mentioned that I was interviewing a woman who worked at Google for my podcast. My son said, "Mom, you should interview Alexa for your podcast." So we received an Amazon Dot as a gift, and it sits in my kitchen. So as I was making dinner, I decided to give it a try. Let's just say that Alexa didn't know the answer to any of my education or education technology questions. After that experience, I thought to myself, boy, am I grateful to have a real live expert as my guest for this podcast. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce a powerhouse woman with true street cred in education. Mary Jo Matta is a creative strategy manager at Google, where she leads growth, creative strategy, and branding for Google's education and diversity initiatives. She is a Harvard graduate who was previously the director of audience development at EdSurge. In 2016, she was named to Forbes 30 Under 30 education list for her work at EdSurge. Mary Jo, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I absolutely love that Alexa story. That is fantastic.
Isn't that great? So in this episode, we're going to cover the topic of digital citizenship. And as always, we will focus on three areas. The first area we're going to talk about is where to find good curriculum. The second area of focus will be about great tools. And then finally, we'll wrap up talking about examples of educators who are standouts in the arena of digital citizenship. So Mary Jo, let's get started. Why don't we start off? Can you explain to our audience, what is digital citizenship?
So I'm really glad that we're going back and just defining it first before we even hop into it. And before I even get to that, I'd like to share a little bit about why I'm so passionate about this. And it might actually give way to what digital citizenship actually means. And so recently in the work that I've been doing at Google, one of the initiatives that I'm involved in is Code Next, where we have real labs in communities such as Oakland and New York City, and students are coming in after school and on the weekends to learn about computer science. And being a former teacher myself, I love connecting with the kids and understanding what their lives are like. So recently I was in the lab in Oakland, and I was talking about, you know, something that I had seen on Facebook recently. I think I was talking about an article that had come up on the right side of the screen. And one of the kids looks at me and says, "Wait, no, you use Facebook? That's the tool that old people use." I started laughing and I said, "Okay, well, what should I use instead if I'm not going to use Facebook?" And she said, "Well, Snapchat. Snapchat's the best thing to use because everything on Snapchat disappears." And she said that, and I paused because when I hear that, my alarm bells in my head start to go off. Because what it makes me realize is that kids are using social media as often as they're really doing anything else. They eat, drink, sleep, go to school, and use social media. And yet something basic like believing that their snaps on Snapchat really disappear and don't go into a repository somewhere is something that they really need to be more aware of. And I think that that really starts with schools, is helping kids to understand what it means to be a responsible digital citizen. And so what I personally see digital citizenship as is being a responsible consumer of technology in an ever-increasingly digital world. So when you think of citizenship that's non-digital, you think of treating each other with respect. You think of following the law. You think of standing up for what you think is right. And really, digital citizenship is essentially that, but you add the tech component into it. So I think when people hear digital citizenship, oftentimes they might assume that it really just means not bullying other kids or other people on Twitter or Facebook, but it's so much more than that. It relates to digital literacy, you know, knowing how to use technology. It has to do with using commerce, electronic buying and selling of goods. You know, when I put my credit card information in somewhere, am I sure that that's a responsible use of it? It's talking about digital security. There's nothing that drives me more crazy than when I see a teacher with a laptop and they've actually pasted their password to the laptop on the physical laptop. That just drives me bananas. I know. But this is something that is becoming an increasingly important set of tactics for kids and teachers equally to both know and integrate into their daily lives.
You know, it's so interesting. I was speaking to a librarian that was a librarian at a public library, and she said to me, you would not believe the number of people that will like log into their bank account or into and then walk away and not shut the computer down. And there lies the login and password to their personal information.
I mean, when people complain about getting hacked, in some respects, I feel for them. But in other respects, my first question is, okay, let's think about how this might have actually happened. And don't get me wrong, I am just as guilty as anyone else. And it's not just about putting your information out there for other people to potentially consume. It's also about the way that you use other people's information. One of the things that I've had to get a lot better about is being aware of when I download resources or take photos from off the internet, am I citing those folks that are the owners or originally responsible for that content? There have actually been examples of this in the ed tech world where those things have not gone so well. Amazon actually, while I was a reporter at EdSurge, Amazon launched this big organization or platform called Inspire, which was meant to be an open education resource platform. And what they soon realized was some of the resources that were up there were not technically given the permission by their owners to be on the site. So everybody gets plagued by issues of digital citizenship, and it makes it all the more important for us to address those.
And speaking of teachers, I'm on a teacher group, a third grade teacher group on Facebook. And someone brought up this very topic that they were trying to, they wanted to sell some of their ideas on Teachers Pay Teachers. Mm-hmm. And they said, can someone help me figure out all of these rules? Like I've read them over and over and I feel like I'm going to break these rules, these copyright rules. Or so I loved that conversation, one, because the teachers were helping each other out in the conversation to figure it out. But also, if we learn those things as an adult and practice those practices, it's much easier to pass on to our students.
I couldn't agree with you more. And oftentimes it starts with the adults, because the way that I see it, the more technology and all forms of technology, you know, from iPads to laptops to phones, the more they become omnipresent in your average learning environment, the more necessary it is for the adult in charge to basically practice what they preach. But up until this point, I think that digital citizenship has been regarded as something that one person in particular should teach, you know, maybe the director of technology in a school or district, or maybe even the social studies or history teacher, because, oh, you know, the word citizenship is in it, so that person should take over. But teaching digital citizenship and bringing it into the classroom is everybody's responsibility. And it's the responsibility of folks just not only in a learning environment. It's the responsibility of folks who log on to Twitter, who log on to Facebook, who blog, to follow those laws and also those best practices, because kids see that and they practice what they see.
Yeah. And I loved what you said before, Mary Jo, about, okay, think about, you know, your duties and the laws that you follow as a good citizen. So that is a perfect segue into, where can you find good curriculum? So I've heard your message that as a teacher, I need to own this, but how do I teach myself? How do I learn how to teach digital citizenship to my students? Where do I go?
So I'm glad we're talking about this because I was actually down in at the Chino Valley Unified School District a couple of weeks ago for a big ed tech event that they were having, and I got that same question. And I personally think I've sort of come to you in twos. I have two big pieces of curriculum and then two tools that we'll get into later that I really love. As far as curriculum goes, and I've heard this from many, many educators, so this is definitely not just coming from my own opinion, I think that the nonprofit Common Sense Media has done a pretty incredible job with providing a full stacked curriculum that addresses all elements of digital citizenship. It really goes into a lot of different elements in terms of like what sorts of lessons you can use to instruct kids. What are some of the most important parts of digital citizenship to instruct on? You know, I mentioned a couple of them, but when I looked for the first time at the Common Sense Media curriculum, what I realized was that there were so many other elements of digital citizenship I hadn't even thought about. Something as simple as thinking about your electronic exchanges of information, you know, what you choose to email or not email. Digital communication is huge. But Common Sense does a really good job of focusing on the what people often describe as 9 specific elements of digital citizenship. So that's definitely one that I'm a big fan of. Now, the second one, and I have to admit, and I feel like I definitely need to say this so everybody knows, the feelings that I'm giving here are definitely not at all representative of Google as an organization. That's a really important thing that we always make clear. But Google for Education does have a training center that I actually used before I even started working here on digital citizenship. So you go to their Edu Training Center, and they have an entire digital citizenship and safety course, which I consider to be a really good way for not only an educator to kind of go through the motions, but then also to think about how to integrate those things into the classroom. So I'll just give you a couple of samples of the different modules that come in that course. So there's the basic why, you know, why teach digital citizenship and safety? What's the point? Then there's, you know, internet safety and privacy. Then there's savvy searching, which I really love because I think that helping students understand best practices just around searching for information is a very necessary skill. And so much random things that have started happening to me have made me realize how important this is. A couple of months ago, I got a random text. I thought it was from my Wells Fargo account saying that my information had been compromised. And I called this number. And as they were taking me through the steps, I thought I was inputting my information to check on the safety of my account. But it turns out I had just given it away to someone completely. And I mean, you know, I was busy, I wasn't thinking, and I called Wells Fargo immediately afterwards, and they said, oh, we have been dealing with this scam all day long. Now, as an adult who is maybe more familiar with this stuff than kids, sure, for me, I might have been able to realize it pretty soon after the fact, but for your average, you know, young person who might not necessarily be as familiar with it, stuff like that is really important.
The same thing happened to me on Facebook, where I received a message and it looked like a fellow parent from my school, and he was just chatting it up. And I thought, this feels weird. Like, this doesn't seem like the language that he would be using. And then I texted his wife and I'm like, is so-and-so messaging me on Facebook? And she's like, oh, no, no, no. Like, his account got taken over and he's been dealing with this. And I wasn't, you know, I didn't fall into giving them any personal information, but it made me feel creeped out.
I can understand that. I mean, there's an entire show on MTV that's dedicated to the concept of catfishing, where people are creating fake profiles to pursue romantic relations with other folks. And, you know, kids are watching that show. It's a really popular show, but I don't necessarily know if they're learning tactics from the show about how to detect whether someone is false or not. And then there's the other side of that, which is the last thing I'll say. One of the other modules relates to managing your online reputation. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that the idea of an online brand is so important these days. We talk about this in at Google a lot for the kids that we work with, you know, educating them on the fact that everything that you do online will follow you. You can always find things. You can always search someone. And so being able to take charge of and manage your online reputation is super, super important.
Now, I have to tell you, to my surprise, a lot of parents listen to this podcast, which is a happy surprise for me. So my follow-up question, if you are a parent listening to this, are you, I mean, obviously I know you can get to that Common Sense Media. Would you be able to get to the Google for Education EduTraining, or is that only for teachers?
Oh, no, it's totally free. In fact, you could log on right now and it's all there. And I highly recommend that parents look through this. If they're looking for something even further, YouTube also has a video and a set of digital citizenship curriculum that's completely free. Just Google YouTube digital citizenship curriculum and it's all there. I'm glad that you brought this up too, because frankly, you know, the triangle relationship between teacher, student, and parent, if you really want something to get done, to me, establishing that triangular relationship is fundamental. So if a student was going into the classroom and hearing certain messaging from a teacher and then going home and also hearing the same messaging from a parent, I could see that as being extremely powerful.
Extremely. I love that. Well, I'm glad to know that that is available for parents and for teachers. And actually, I just thought, man, I'm going to, instead of the next book study that I do with my mom friends, maybe we'll do a digital citizenship study and talk about this instead of reading a book. So thank you for that
information. I love that.
Let's talk about tools. What are some great tools that are out there?
There are, I will say that there are a fair number of curriculum materials out there that I think are more geared towards adults. The interesting thing about asking about digital citizenship tools is that when I think of a tool, I think of something that could engage kids in a way that makes this more tangible to them. And there's actually two game-based tools that I have become aware of that really are meant to teach and test the basics of online life with kids. And this one's gonna sound a little bit repetitive because the first one actually is from Common Sense again, and it's called a digital passport. So it's a game, if you go to digitalpassport.org, it's this game where kids actually log in and they're taken through different game-based modules where they get to learn about things like cyberbullying and the importance of looking for keywords and, you know, what it means to tweet. And it's fun because it's an easy way for kids to be able to experience digital citizenship in a safe environment. You know, they're not actually going on Twitter or on Facebook or on Snapchat and experimenting in relatively public spaces where other people could see what they're doing. The whole idea behind Digital Passport is it's closed and it's experimental, and both educators and students can log in to see the progress of how the kids are doing. Now that is, it's geared specifically towards kindergarten through sixth graders. Now, there's another one that I also like. It's by PBS, which is definitely one of my favorite nonprofits out there, and it's called Webinauts Academy. So it's like the Argonauts, but Webinauts. And it's at pbskids.org/webinauts. And that's it's geared a little bit, I would say, older. If you're really looking to try something different in the classroom, I could see it working with middle schoolers as well as elementary. But the idea is that it's set in space and kids are going through these different scenarios where the characters are actually bringing up interesting things like, let's talk about whether it's a good idea to share your password with a friend or with a colleague or someone who's in your class. And the kids are going through it and they're racking up points as they're experiencing these different conversations and these different situations that they may find themselves in the real world. And again, similar to the digital passport, it's a safe, closed space. And I remember the reason that I discovered this was because there's actually videos on YouTube of kids filming themselves as they go through the Webinauts Academy experience, which is kind of funny because in a way, I'm sort of like, ooh, am I okay with the fact that this kid has videoed himself and put himself up on YouTube? Not sure about that from a digital citizenship perspective, but you watch him and you realize how into it he's getting. He actually is having a really good time with it. And the nice thing too about Webinauts is that there's a section that talks about how parents can run it at home with their kids and sort of track their progress and see how they're doing. So both of those, I think, are, they're equal in the sense that they both target the particular things that we've discussed. They're both closed environments and they're both free. So anybody could log on, you know, today, tomorrow, whenever, and go through it and probably have a pretty good time while they're playing with it.
And the big takeaway for me as I'm listening to this is it's never too early to start the conversation and just start talking to kids either in your home or in the classroom about this topic.
I mean, I even, to be honest with you, there's never a time that's too early, and there's also never a time that's too late. You know, I think about some of the educators that I used to work with when I was teaching, and, you know, some of the things that probably they could have stood to know just in favor of informing the things that they're trying to teach kids. And there were moments when I had PowerPoints that I was making for my classroom, and I might have taken photos off of Google and not actually given the person who owned the photo proper credits in my PowerPoint. Now, if I had put those up on like Teachers Pay Teachers, like you were saying before, that would have really thrown my digital citizenship practices for a loop, because that's not technically legal. But for me, you know, being a young teacher, really focused on just getting my curriculum out there and getting my teaching in, you know, digital citizenship wasn't necessarily something I saw the utility for at the beginning of my career. But now looking back, I wish that someone had told me, hey, here are some best practices and here's how you can bring them into your classroom.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really interesting because there are websites that you can go to get stock photos or stock images. I know for myself, even, you know, building out my website and building out my webinars, I'm aware of that too. And it's really easy because you go to these websites and you type in, you know, kids playing on a playground. And then it'll say, hey, you can have this image for free if you give this person credit. And it's right there. You copy and paste, you know, credit to photographer, blah, blah, blah. And I know I feel just so much better about using those certain websites to find those images that I need, because it is easy. Just Google something and drag it right in.
100%. And you know, I'm sure you had these moments just like I did. It's 9 p.m. on a Monday, you're exhausted from the day, you're trying to finish putting together your curriculum for the next day. The last thing on your mind at the moment is probably thinking about what you're doing as you drag photos into your PowerPoint. I get it. But there's a big difference between using something solely with your kids and then also putting it out publicly. And there's a big difference between, you know, just doing something for yourself versus doing something that your students are actually going to see. As I spent more years in the classroom, one of the biggest things that I learned was how frequently my students were emulating my behaviors without me even realizing it. And that's the thing that makes me recognize how important digital citizenship is for everybody, from administrators to teachers to coaches to kids to older students mentoring younger students. I mean, it really is a full class job.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for the refresher, even personally for me. It's a great thing to think about and for us all to model. What educators do you know who are like really doing a good job at this?
So, okay, well, there's definitely, so one big educator that comes to mind, and for the listeners of the podcast, some of them may recognize her name because she speaks a lot publicly. She's very well known. She wrote for EdSearch when I was there. Her name is Kayla Deltzer, and she's a teacher in Fargo, North Dakota. And the reason that she comes to mind for me is because I think the first time I learned about this particular story I'm about to tell you, that was something that really demonstrated to me how a teacher who has so many other things on her plate can handle digital citizenship. So she teaches little kids. But every single year, she always starts off the year with a digital citizenship boot camp for her kids. So there's this whole sort of army theme to it. The kids come in and they spend the week going through all of these different projects and programs that are designed to help them learn about the importance of digital citizenship. She sends home a letter to the parents. You know, the kids get a big certificate at the end of the boot camp when they've graduated. And some examples of some of the things that happen are students are tweeters of the day. So every student will be responsible for tweeting at a particular time, a particular thing. And she's got a full Twitter dedicated solely to her kids tweeting. So it's, you know, a safe environment, and it's something that they recognize as going out into the public for other people to see. Now, in addition to that, she also adds something else that's pretty interesting, which is she has the kids do Facebook Live. Now, for those of you that don't know, Facebook Live is essentially a live streaming program that Facebook allows on their site. So if you log in and you basically press the live stream button, anything that you're doing into the camera will then be projected out to anyone who is your friend or follows your page. And so what's interesting to me about that is not only is it projecting this concept of citizenship, but it's also helping kids understand what it means to present publicly, what it means to speak clearly, what it means to enunciate. And, you know, Kayla has been doing this for quite a number of years, and the fact that she has continued to do it and she wrote about it for EdSurge and it got so much readership, I think it's testimony to the fact that it's something that it could easily be consumed in any classroom. You know, anybody could spend the first 1 to 2 weeks at the beginning of the year doing this boot camp. It really wouldn't necessarily push anything off to the side so much. Now, someone else actually that comes to mind, and I'm thinking about her because she is an administrator now, actually, is Carrie Gallagher. So she is an administrator at a school in Massachusetts, and one of her fellow educators and her, Julie Kremen, they wrote a story for EdSurge in 2016 called How to Take Digital Citizenship Schoolwide. And what I found was interesting about that was the two of them took it from more of the perspective of, okay, how do you get everybody else on board to get involved in digital citizenship beyond just your own classroom or your own program or your own grade level? So what they did was they basically created this whole website that was used internally by anybody in the school and called it a digital citizenship deep dive. And so what it is they have professional learning resources, they link to articles, they have research around the strategy for digital citizenship, you know, what does it mean to raise a child in a digital world? And for any educator that was interested in learning about it, all they needed to do was basically direct them to the site. And it's accessible really to anybody. So, actually, when I was down in Chino in Southern California, I recommended it to a couple of the administrators I was talking to and said, you know, if this is something you're really serious about and you want to take it full district-wide, check out the way that these educators design this platform of resources. As much as, you know, there may be some people who listen to this podcast and respond to the resources that I'm sharing, I think it's way more effective when the people in your own community, the administrators, the principals, even the superintendent, kind of get behind something and share those resources out, because there's more of an on-the-ground feel. You know, as much as I love these resources, I also trust the input of the educators that I've mentioned, for example, way more than I trust my own, because I also haven't been in the classroom for a number of years. So with regards to Carrie and Julie, I highly recommend that anybody who's interested in taking something like this district-wide should definitely check out their article.
And what I'll do is every resource that you've mentioned today, I will include links to those in the podcast notes. So All of you that are listening, if you're on, you know, Apple Podcasts, you just basically scroll down and you'll see the podcast notes and the links. And if you're on Podbean, just click on the episode notes and you'll see those as well.
Great.
Well, Mary Jo, I am honestly just so inspired by the work you're doing. And it's been a good refresher for me as a mother and a person out in the education field, out in schools. I will be passing these tips along to pretty much everyone that I run into. But thank you for taking time out of your very busy and important life to speak to all of us. So thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much, Carrie. And I really appreciate the work that everybody out there is doing. You know, anything that comes on this podcast it's not just any one person's responsibility. We're all in this together. And so I encourage anybody who has more digital citizenship resources to reach out to me on Twitter and let me know, because I would love to learn about them.
Before we go, let's talk about Twitter and social media. How can people follow you and learn more about the work you're doing?
So I am on Twitter. My handle is at MJMADDA, M-A-D-D-A. You can also look me up on LinkedIn. I'm also pretty active on my LinkedIn profile page. If you're interested in getting involved with me more directly, feel free to shoot me an email at my Google email address, which is maryjomatta@google.com. For the record, though, I am definitely way faster at responding to tweets than I am responding to LinkedIn or any sort of email. So if you're looking to really get a response from me right away, Twitter is the way to go.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Mary Jo, and good luck in all that you're doing at Google.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
You can follow me on Instagram at educators2educators. Don't forget, that's the number 2, educators2educators. Visit our website at www.educators2educators.com. And also, if you like this podcast, it really helps me if you give us 5 stars and follow us and subscribe. Also, please pass it along to your friends and family. We have really picked up pace here at Educators to Educators podcast, and it's all because of you passing the word along. So thanks for doing that. And my friends, until next time, keep on teaching on.